our heads just for a minute. Can you hear me? Hard time hearing? I'm going to come stand right next to you then. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. As we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying, and dying world, we need the light of your word more than ever, Lord. God, we didn't come here for information. We came here for revelation. God, rip the scales off our eyes. Let us see, Lord, how we can live victoriously each and every day in you. Thank you for this time together around your word. Bless your people, Lord. Let them hear. Let them discern, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Speak to their minds. Speak to their spirit, Lord, as only you can. Bless your people to live the word. Bless them to embrace the word. Bless your people to love your word. And we thank you now, Lord. Holy Spirit, rule and reign throughout this service. God, we trust you with our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Sunday, we normally do a proverb. We do a miracle. Or we do a parable for the first Sunday. So this is somewhat of a continuation of last month. No, actually it wasn't, because last month was Easter Sunday. So the last first Sunday was Easter Sunday, so this is actually a continuation of March. We're doing a miracle, talking about a miracle. Let's pick it up with a quick review, and then we'll just get right into the lesson. Mark 4 and 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spoke he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded, or he explained everything to his disciples. Make a note in verse 34, if you haven't already, the alone time with Jesus Christ. You have to have your alone time with Jesus Christ. Amen. When you're alone with Jesus Christ, that time in the morning that we use before we eat, our praying and fasting time, it's our alone time. Most people say, well, God doesn't speak. And I submit to you that you don't put yourself in a position to have that alone time with Jesus Christ to hear from him. Yes, God does speak. He speaks during alone time, just like he did with his disciples. He speaks to us. Verse 35, and on the same day when evening was come, he sat with them and he said, let us pass to the other side. Put a note by that in your Bible. That should be in red. That is Jesus speaking. He's saying we're going to the other side. He went, and when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Make a note that sometimes you got to get rid of some people to get to the other side. Everybody can't go where God is trying to take you. You have to get rid of some folks to get to the other side. When he had sent away the multitude, the crowd, the looky-loos, he said, now we can go. It's some people in your life that you need to get rid of so God can take you where he's trying to take you. So we know the story gets in the ship and then it gets filled up with water. They asking Jesus, do you care that we perish? In verse 38, sometimes we feel like, God, does God really care? Does God really know what I'm going through? Does God really know how hard it is to raise a family? Does God know how hard it is to be a husband? Does God know how hard it is to be a wife and a mother? Or a student in 2018, or a youngster? Does God really care? Does God even know? They felt the same way when they felt like their life was going under. God, do you even care? Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and the and said to the sea, peace, calm down and be still. Amen. Sometimes you just need to read this scripture when everything is falling apart and let God speak to your heart. Just calm down. And that peace means, that peace means silence. Just be quiet and be still. Wind ceased and there was a great calm. And verse 40, put a star by verse 40 if you don't have a star by that right now. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? God, help us not to go through life filled with fear. What's going to happen? I'm going to pay the bills. What about the kids? What about the wife? What about the husband? What about the job? What about the business? What about the church? What about my health? What about this? What about? Why are you so afraid? This guy asked, what are you afraid about? He said, do you have any faith? Do you trust me at all? Family, we have to ask ourselves that question. I was speaking yesterday at a woman's shelter for Mother's Day. And I can't trust God for you. That's what you got to do. I'm at night asking God, do I really believe this? I can't believe it for you. You got to believe it for yourself. That's what Jesus, what are you afraid about? Think about it. What are we afraid about? And say, well, Pastor, the worst thing could happen is I could die. Then you go to be right in the presence of the Lord. I don't think that's a bad place to be. I mean, we want it later than sooner, somebody say amen. Amen. But what are you afraid about? Then he goes on to say, how is it that you don't trust me? And family, only you can answer that. Only you. Why is it you don't trust God? What has God shown you that makes you not trust him? Verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now we pick up the story at chapter 5. And they came over into the other side, put a note by that, put a star. Because Jesus said we're going to the other side. You had a storm to go through. You had some bumps and some bruises. Some were speed bumps, some were a dead end. But look where you wind up, on the other side, just like he said. Why is it you don't trust him? You're going to be all right. The kids are going to be all right. Keep trusting God. The grandkids are going to be all right. The marriage is going to be okay. If you give it to God, it's going to be okay. Say, you're getting to the other side. We're going to the other side. They got to the other side. They came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. So they get to the other side. They get to Gadarenes. Make a note. Gadarenes means the reward at the end. So you get through the storm, and then there's a reward at the end. I thought that was kind of exciting, right? Make a note, you get through the storm, you have to get through the storm. And remember, what I found out is as I read more, I was excited at first, but now I'm not sure. And now you'll see why in just a minute. So you get through the storm, and then there's the reward at the end. And look what happens, verse 20. And when he come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So you get through your storm, and immediately you have to minister to somebody with an unclean spirit. Immediately you step into spiritual warfare. I was happy to get to the other side because it's reward. My reward is I got to minister to someone who needs my help when I get through the storm. If you and I don't get through the storm, there's somebody who's going to miss out on the ministry and what we've learned by going through the storm, that you can trust Jesus while you're in the storm because you're going to get to the other side. And immediately, as soon as they get out, I got to minister. I got to put on my hard hat and my steel boots because this is real right now. That's what's waiting for you on the other end of the storm, family. some hard hats and a steel boot. Otherwise, you're going to get your butt kicked because you got to do battle. The storm is not for you. It's for somebody else that needs you. And this was a tough one. Look at verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. This spiritual warfare is so strong that it can't be controlled. It's not a man-made thing because it's not going to be a man-made solution. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with shackles and chains had been torn asunder by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. Couldn't be tamed. Couldn't be tamed or constrained. And although this gentleman, he has the physical shackles, see the spiritual metaphor, how we can be bound in our mind, bound in our emotions and in our heart, and we're not free in Christ because there are some things we haven't turned over to God. Amen. His chains and shackles were physical, but ours are not necessarily seen. But he's in a bad place. Look at verse 5. And always at night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Wow. This is what's waiting on you on the other side of the storm. Some spiritual warfare, some serious spiritual warfare. But I love this in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Somebody make a note. The only way to break free is to run to Jesus and worship him. This is a game changer, family. This is a game changer. His life changed when he ran to worship Jesus. So I had to read this, so I guess I got to read it. Says Jesus is the game changer. Run to Jesus and worship Jesus. Make a note, family. You are currently worshiping something. Only you know what that is. But you are currently worshiping something. Change the direction of your life, your mind, and your heart. Run to Jesus and worship him. So I got this in here. Oh, he's running. Amen. They come to the altar. Run. There you go. Right on time. Family, make a note. You're worshiping something. I was watching a game yesterday. LeBron James hit the game-winning jumper going to his left, shot with his right hand, banked shot right in at the buzzer. Made his way to the scorer's table, hit his chest, raised his hand, and people were, whoa! I mean, it was like a scene right out of Jesus coming off the cross. Had their cameras out taking pictures. You're going to worship something. And see, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't watch the game. I'm saying be discerning. Because it's shifted right to worship. You're going to worship something. We all, whether it's the game or whether it's your soap operas, whether it's your stories, whether it's your job, your favorite logo, your favorite team, you and I, we were built to worship. We have to worship something. It's in us to worship. You're worshiping yourself, your car, your house, your bank account, your job. You are worshiping something. The game changer is when you start to worship Jesus. When your heart connects with Jesus and you put Jesus above everything else. You worshiping a person. You worshiping a relationship. You are worshiping something. The game changer is when you and I worship Jesus Christ. And I'm saying you got to discern this stuff. You got to discern and see what's really going on. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. That's great. I cannot. That is, it's a great ball player. All right. And I've seen some great ball players in my time. You give honor when honor is due. But I don't worship anybody but Jesus Christ. Check it out. Watch those of you. Watch 30 minutes of a game today. It'll be a couple of them on. And I'm talking NBA playoffs. And you're going to see folks, they're going to be worshiping. The music is going to be going. Hands are going to be raised. And they're going to be looking to an object to give it everything they got. And we come to church and we sing, I love you, Jesus. And some of us don't even sing. And maybe people worship different. I get that. But I'm just saying, be aware. You can come to church and scream and holler and root for Jesus Christ because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They called LeBron James King James, but Jesus is the King of Kings. It's okay to recognize other kings, but there's the King of all kings, which is Jesus Christ. Family, don't get it twisted. I'm telling you, give honor to whom honor's due. Just watch it. People are worshiping something. And then when you go on your job tomorrow, listen to the conversation. They're into stuff. They are. But the game changer is when we cross over and get into Jesus Christ. So as we're worshiping something, a person, a place, or a thing, music, money, logos, shoes, clothes, TV, your phone, your social media site, you spend more time on social media than you do with God. You got to understand the warfare that we are really in. Run to God and worship him daily. Someone is looking for a change and someone is waiting for you to get through your storm so you can introduce them to the power of God through Jesus Christ. Then we get to the shift and we go from talking about the man. Then we go to spiritual warfare. Verse 7. Notice the shift. From the man to the demon. And a demon cried with a loud voice and said, what do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of the most high God? Underline that. See, the demons aren't confused. We're the ones that's confused. We don't know who God is because we don't live like it. The demon, what are you doing, Jesus? You're the son of the most high God. He knows who he is. We don't because we don't live like it. And we were walking around afraid and uncertain and confused. And he's telling us right here, this is the Most High God. They're not confused. Jesus is not confused. I submit to you, we're the ones that's confused. And look what goes on. He's saying, I'm begging you by God. Well, come, wait a minute. The demon said, I'm begging you in the name of God? I'm begging you in the name of God that you don't torment and don't toss me out. Verse 8, for when Jesus came, he said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. All right, we got spiritual warfare going on. Make a note. Come out of the man. That's all he said. He didn't get, I'll loose you and I'll bind you. He didn't get, he just said, come out of the man. He didn't argue with that demon. He said, come out of the man. He didn't start a fight. He didn't start wrestling with him. He just said, come out of the man. Ladies, I submit to you, when your husband's tripping, you just start praying, come out of the man. That's all you got to say. Let God handle it. Don't start arguing with that joker. Yvonne, just come out of that man. Come out of the man. I guess this would be the sequel to Woman, Thou Art Loose. Come out of the man, part two. So, oh, Jesus, they didn't get into no argument with no demon. Jesus knows who he is. Amen. We're the ones that's confused. Look at verse 8 again. Is yours in red? For he said, come out. When Jesus first walked up, he said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And so then we go back to verse 7. And that's when he started crying. Why are you here to torment me, you son of the Most High God? I'm begging you, don't just toss me out. Don't torture me. And he asked him, he said, what is your name? All right, so. Okay, now it's starting to get deep now. Is Jesus really having a conversation with a demon? See, you want the revelation? You want it now or you want it later? No. Amen. Satan and the demons have a temporary access card to Jesus. We have a permanent, all-exclusive, all-access pass that we never use. If Jesus is going to sit and dialogue with a demon, do you think he wants to talk to you every day? And you're his child? So here's the problem. Okay? A demon's convinced us because of what we did, or because of what we thought, or because of what we've done in the past, God would never want to talk to you. And then they go and they talk to God about us. And we believe the demons more than we believe the word of God. Because you haven't talked to God today. Some of you ain't even prayed today. So who are you believing? I can't talk to God after what I did and what I thought last night. God doesn't want to hear from me. And here he is conversing with a demon. And you let the demon convince you that God don't want to talk to you. They're having a full-on conversation. Okay, don't believe me. Who's on it? Dominic, take me to Matthew 7. Where do I want to go? Matthew 7 and 7. We sit around and we don't even talk. 1 Thessalonians 5. And what is it? Is it 5 and 7? 5 and 7 says, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7, make a note of it. It says, pray without ceasing. It means you should never stop praying. You should never stop talking to God. And then we have Matthew 7 and 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Next one, Dominique. For everyone that asks, receive it. And he that seeketh, find. And to him that knocketh shall be opened. Go ahead. Or what man is there of you whom if your son or your daughter ask a bread, will give him a stone? Keep going. Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? Keep going. If you then being evil, which means bad, I looked it up. And you acting bad, you've been bad. But even with that, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And we know, of course, that's according to his will. But you won't even ask. And you got a permanent all-access pass to Jesus Christ. Yes. And the enemy has a temporary card, and he goes and he talks about you and I. And then he tells you, God don't want to hear from you. Don't waste your time. And you go, I'm not going to pray today. And men, we got it real bad. Because we talk to our co-workers, other guys. Oh, man, I can't go to church till I get myself together. As if you could really get yourself together. And that's all it is saying is that I can't talk to God because of what I've done. If that's the case, none of us could talk to God because of what we've done. Because it's not by works. We'd never talk to God if it was based on what we've done. We could never earn it, but we could talk to God. God says, ask and it shall be given. And here we are, we won't even talk to God. And it's such a stronghold, but you see, this is spiritual warfare. Dominique, take us to Revelation 12 and 7. So this is what's waiting for us on the other side. This is the reward at the end. We jump right into spiritual warfare. And you better know it. And you better have on your hard hat and your steel toe boots. Because the enemy's out and he's deceiving. And we won't even talk to God, and God is waiting for us to talk to God. And the demons are begging God to have mercy on them. And we won't even talk to God to bless us. They have enough sense to know who God is and who's really in charge. I guess we think we're in charge. That's why we don't talk to God. So look at, make a note of this. That's a Revelations 12 and 7. All right, here we go. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and fought and his angels. So it's a war in heaven between Michael, the archangel, and Satan, who is the dragon, also known as the dragon, and his angels. Verse 8, they didn't prevail, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They got their butts kicked out. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceive the whole world. And family, I submit to you, if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping Satan. It's just in another form, and you want to call it something else, but that's the word, and that's real. It's not politically correct. But you're being deceived and you're worshiping Satan. If you're not connected, your heart is not connected to God. And it's just not, I'm good, I'm just on my own, I do my own thing. You're doing Satan's thing. You're right where he wants you to be. He was cast out into the earth. Make a note of that. I submit to you, after you watch the game today, watch the news. And you'll see the evidence of Satan cast out into the earth. And I heard a loud voice, verse 10, saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. For the accuser, underline accuser, make a side note too. The two weapons that Satan has, he's the accuser and he's the tempter. All he can do is accuse you and I before God with his temporary access card, while we don't use our permanent access, all-exclusive card to pray to God, he has his temporary access to accuse you because you're not praying. Two weapons to accuse and attempt. He's going to tell you about your past, he's going to tell you about your present, and he's going to try and prevent your future. And he's going to tempt you to get caught up in something stupid. And he's going to continue to tempt you and I to get caught up into something stupid, because that's what he does. He has no real power but to tempt and accuse. He couldn't make Jesus do anything. He took him up and he tempted him. Was it 3 or 4 times? And Jesus rebuked him with the word each and every time, because the word is stronger than the temptation. Make a note. So the next time, what they say, the next time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. There is a place that he's going. Accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Temporary access card. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. You got to exchange your life for God's life. You got to give your life to God. God is not looking for people to die for him. God is looking for people to live for him. Until we transition. Look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heaven and you that dwell in them. But woe to the sea. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And unto the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short season. And look, I looked up the word wrath. I was trying to figure out with great wrath. What is wrath? Wrath was boiling anger. You think Satan cares about you? We know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is so upset. He doesn't know how to play. So he said, no, I'm just playing. I'm going to just hang out with them. We're just going to hang around. Satan doesn't know how to play. He can't play. He doesn't play fair because he doesn't play at all. They said this in the Greek and Aramaic, the wrath is an inflaming wine. That's the definition. In addition to boiling anger, it's an inflaming wine. It drives you crazy, or it kills you in the process because it's so strong. That's what he thinks about you and I. And so when you say, I'm just going to go and just hang out because it's just this or it's just that, you're playing with inflaming wine. That number one is trying to drive you crazy so you lose your mind, or it kills you in the process because it's so strong. That's what the word wrath means. His boiling anger. He doesn't care about you and I. His goal was to take us out when we were out in the world doing stupid stuff. Please don't go back out there and press your luck. That's what's waiting. That's the reward at the other end. We got to do serious spiritual warfare. Now let's go back. Let's wrap this up. Let's go back to Mark 5 and 9. Whew. When you're there, say amen. Well, let's look at 8 again. And he said unto him, come out of the man. Men, make a note that this is what we need to pray for our brothers, our fathers, and our sons, our uncles. Be discerning, family. Always be discerning and just pray, come out of him, God, in the name of Jesus. Allow the spirit to come out. Allow that unclean spirit to come out of the man. Men, make a note. Add that to your prayer list in the morning. And ladies, you already know what to do. Don't argue. Don't get all upset. Don't start fighting and wrestling. Just pray silently. Come out of the man. I love Jesus's temperament. Jesus knows who he is. He didn't have to start arguing and I'm God. He didn't have to do all that. He just stayed calm and said, come out of the man. No. You know who you are in God. You don't have to argue. Speak life into the situation. Speak power. Speak authority and trust God. Verse 9, he asked him, what is your name? Look at this conversation they're having. And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. You standing there arguing with some man on the street, somebody at your job, and they could have Legion in them. In a Legion, you all know how many are in a Legion? At least 6,000. This dude is filled with 6,000 demons, and you argue with him on the street? You going back and forth with somebody who's possessed with that type of stuff? And you going to show them? It come out of the man and get on your way. He said, my name is Legion. And I believe Jesus showed them this so he could show them the power. And so when they wrote it for us, that we would understand, we're dealing with some serious stuff here. Say nothing you play with. Be discerning. Stop arguing with folks. And look at verse 10. And he begged him. How is the demon begging Jesus? That he would not send them away out of the country. And this word country is different from the country that we're going to read a little bit later. This country means into empty space. In the Greek, this one means don't send us to empty space. Don't send us out to nowhere. Really? He's begging Jesus. He's having a conversation with Jesus and you won't. I don't get that, family. Here's a demon having a conversation with Jesus, and we're run and hide from God, thinking because we did something that the devil tempted us to do anyway. And then he goes back and accuses you and I, and then we're hiding from God. And you never live a victorious life like that. Confess, repent, and get reconnected to God immediately. It's not based on what you do anyway. You couldn't earn your way. Verse 11, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, notice that's plural, begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Just don't send us out into nowhere. My God. And forthwith Jesus permitted them to leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 swine, and they drowned in the sea. And they that fed the... Is that fed or led? Because I got a mark on it. Anybody reading? What does it say? And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Make a note of 15. They're getting ready to get offended at Jesus and tell him, you got to leave, because they were more concerned about money than that guy's life. They could care less about that guy. They weren't even thankful that he had got delivered from a whole legion of demons. Family, make a note. Don't be more concerned about stuff than somebody's spiritual well-being. Amen. They got offended. But then I wrote this down, too. Isn't it something? Look at verse 15. Let me see. Do I have a read this? Let me see if I get, make sure I don't want to mess this up. Okay, here we go. I submit to you that the scariest position of a man is not one that's possessed and bound and chained and cutting himself, because they weren't afraid of him then. But when a man is seated with Jesus and clothed in his right mind, look what it said. And they were afraid. They were terrified. Men, when we get in our right mind and we sit at the feet of Jesus and we get clothed, that's the scariest place that the devil never wants us to be there. That's when they get afraid. When they see you connected with Jesus Christ, now they start to tremble, because that's a game changer and lives are getting ready to change. When he was cutting himself in the mountains and running and screaming every day, they were just laughing and couldn't care less. But when he got connected with Jesus, they got scared. Man, when you and I get connected to Jesus, folks get scared. They really don't want us around. Oh, we're going to invite the family over. No, not. They're going to come talking. That's right. Now, we out acting crazy. Yeah, invite him over. You ain't doing that. You're just crazy. He gonna be, you know, doing his thing, but he's just crazy. But when we get connected with Jesus, oh, now they're afraid, because it's a game changer. All right, I'm wrapping up. Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him, and that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray, Jesus, you got to get out of this. Get out of here. We lost money. So what? He got his life changed. So what? He's connected to you. We lost money. We could care less about someone spiritually connected to you. Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship that he had been possessed, he that had been possessed with the devil begged Jesus that he might be with him. I love Jesus' response. It's how we get ready to wrap it up. Howbeit, Jesus explained to him, you know, I can't allow that. Go home. Somebody say amen. This dude been living in the mountains. He's been cutting himself. He's out of his mind. He said, you go home to your friends. Somebody make a note right now. You go home to your friends. And you tell them how great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had compassion on you. And I love it, because a man did it. He's going to go tell your story. And he departed and began to declare and decree in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men marveled. That's what's waiting on you on the other side. Get through your storm. Deal with the spiritual warfare. And then you better go and tell your friends and your family how great God is and how compassionate he is. Dominic, throw up Matthew 28. Let's leave it right here before we take communion. Same thing Jesus told us. Matthew 28:18, and he spoke unto them. If you there, say amen. Matthew 28, look for yourself. The same thing Jesus is telling us. After we take communion today, you better go and tell your friends and family the great things God has done. How compassionate and loving God is. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Just like he told that gentleman, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Family, make a note of this. This is what we call the Great Commission. Youth, make a note of this. People go through life, I don't have a purpose. Yes, you do. Jesus told us our purpose right here. Your method might be different. The purpose will never change. You cannot tell me I don't have a purpose in life. Pastor, I just don't have a purpose in life. It's right here. I don't know my method, Pastor. Help me to discover my method. We have a purpose. Men, you have a purpose. Ladies, you have a purpose. Youth, you have a purpose. Don't let this world confuse you thinking you're just here floating around with no purpose. You and I have a purpose, just like that gentleman. He went and showed himself to his family. I love God for that. No, you don't need to come. You need to go. See, God didn't say, as much as I love it, and especially it looks good in here because we have people in church, but God didn't tell us to come to church. He said, go. Well, actually, he did. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But then he said, go. This is where the ministry takes place, outside of these four walls. We come here and get refueled and refreshed, and some of us come here and take a nap and all that, but that's okay. But when you leave, he says, go. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, just think about it. Dominique, throw it up there. 1 Corinthians 11:23, and we'll take communion and then we'll dismiss. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, do not take communion. If you're visiting and you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, please take communion. Amen. So just think about it. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. Think about what God has done for you. And remember, if it's anybody that you need to forgive them now. Let it go. Trust God with the details. All it's going to do is drive you crazy. Thank you, brother. Just think about who you need to go to and share the word with. Think about who you need to forgive. Go ahead, brothers. Go ahead and Dominique, you can put the song up. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, Lord. You have always been there. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for always being there. Yes.
Ancient one, so amazing, unfailing.
Yes.
Holy one.
Thank you, Lord. Elevate that which represents his body. Thank you, Lord, for taking the place of us on that cross. We thank you that because of your stripes, we are healed. We can run and worship you, Lord. You told us to pray without ceasing. You told us to ask. You told us to seek. Told us to knock. You told us to stay connected with you regardless of what happens. And because you died on the cross and shed your blood for us, for our forgiveness of our sins, we can stay connected to you. Your death gave us entrance and access to the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. We have entrance and access to your presence. Because your body was broken and your blood was shed. So we celebrate you today. We celebrate communion. We're thankful, Lord. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We forgive anyone that we might be holding out against. We trust you with the details. Nobody gets away with nothing. I trust you, Lord, that you will handle. I release them. As you release me from my chains and my shackles that's been on my mind and my heart and my emotions, I release them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Something always had to be offered and killed to cover sins. Jesus was that sacrifice once and for all, cleansed us from all our sins, past, present, and future, so we can stay connected. So we can use that permanent access and entrance card to the presence of God daily, nightly. Because of the blood he shed on Calvary. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't forgive ourselves. And you did through your blood. And now, God, because we are forgiven, don't let us condemn ourselves. Because the accuser or the tempter. Let us walk in the power and authority that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug and you are dismissed.